When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Scared for you.
As soon as the elevator opened, it was the medical examiner with the gurney.
Oh my God.
And it just killed me. How am I going to bury my daughter?
Your situation impacted me.
I'm going to allow this to somehow strengthen me to help other people in some type of way.
Recently started a life insurance company.
You know, us as Black people, we just don't have that. Some of the biggest bosses that be sitting around that when they pass, they family got to do a fish fry or have to do this or have to do that.
You help other salon suites owners
get their credit together so that they can get business funding to do it without spending a dime out of their own pocket.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins, where I bring entrepreneurs onto the sofa with me to have transparent conversations about their entrepreneurial journey and all the things that are happening in their lives. And I'm super excited for today's guest because we've kind of been tiptoeing around in the same circle for a little bit. I've celebrated you or celebrated her for her birthday before, but we hadn't really had a time to build a strong connection. So today, I am super excited to have the serial entrepreneur, restaurateur, salon suites owner, and she's just started a brand new business. Y'all, let me introduce y'all to Snoop.
Woo, 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 woo. What's
hey,
up, y'all?
Snoop.
Hey, boo.
I am excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
First of all, I'm happy to have you back out in these streets. You have been You are killing it in the restaurant space, killing it in the salon suite space. You are living your personal life very much out loud. We got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, we do.
We got a lot to talk about. First of all, tell us about the businesses that you're operating, because it's one of the ones, like when you're thinking restaurateur, we don't hear a lot of people in that space. And nor do we hear a lot of people in the salon industry, not from an ownership of salon suites anyway.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about how you got into both those things.
Yeah. So I got a lot of things going on, and not just those two things, Donnie, but, you know, we'll get to that. So first of all, yes, restaurateur. So I have been in the hospitality industry since I was 24. I opened up my first lounge when I was 24 years old, invested the only little $30,000 I had, lost it within a month, got back into it when I moved to Atlanta, and, you know, found my success here in this beautiful city of Black entrepreneurs. Ended up linking up with the rapper 2 Chainz, and so we have a brand called Esco Restaurant and Tapas, in which I was, you know, just savvy enough to franchise, and I got into franchising for a couple of reasons. One, I'm extremely passionate about, I like working with business owners more than I like working with staff, you know, because business owners, they get it. I've been consulting for so many years and just all of the various different business realms. So that was something that we did. And so we have 2 locations here in Atlanta. We've got 4 locations all throughout the southeast part of the country. I also have Remedy Spa and Salon Suites, which is my salon suite brand. And basically, you know, after I got into the restaurant industry, I realized that the restaurant industry is very financially rewarding, but it's personally grueling. You know what I mean? You know, you're going to work many, many hours. You know, you have to be there. You end up in some sorts becoming a babysitter, you know, mm-hmm. to your staff and to people much older than you. You know, so I'm 39 years old. I'm old as dirt now. But when I first got into the business, I was super young and everybody I hired was older than me. And I found myself always having to go to the restaurant to check on everything and to check on managers that were much older than myself. Mm-hmm. And so once I got to the point where the restaurants were very stable, you know, I kind of said to myself, you know, I really want to find a daytime source of income because most of my restaurants were open until 3 a.m.
Okay.
Now, my very first lounge that I had here, let's shout out to the Hookah Hideaway. I know some of you guys probably partied at the Hookah Hideaway. That was open till 6 a.m. Then 2 Chainz and I, we had a spot called Members Only that was open till 6 a.m. And it was so funny because when we first opened, it was just a regular little spot. Open at 2 a.m. It was going to be for members only. I'm like, okay, you need to, you know, bring in your little personal contacts, your celebrities and all that. We're going to do this a members only spot, da-da-da-da. And then he was like, let's turn it into after hours, Snoop. You know, I like to be up late, you know, and then I can go to the studio and all that. And he told me, he said, his wife, Keisha, shout out Keisha, love her. She was just like, child, you know, Snoop liked to get her rest. Snoop is not going to want to be in here until 6 a.m. And so anyways, you know, as you get older, you transcend and things happen in life and you really, you know, understand, you know, what's most important. And you learn to stop trading time for money. Mm. And so I wanted to get into an industry that would allow me to be able to do that. And so I found the salon suite industry. I ended up opening up my first Remedy spot in salon suites in 2019. Mm-hmm. I've got 3 locations. I franchise that brand as well. We've got 5 franchise locations. So I guess I have 8 locations in all. I also have a luxury car rental service, mm-hmm. Cause you know, I like to be flying flashy
and
don't want to pay for it as much. So, you know, I let these niggas rent my cars out. excuse me. I'm also a big coach and consultant. So I think that that's really what I'm known for. It's just like consulting people, inspiring people, just letting people know that like, hey, I've been through everything I've been through since birth. And if I can do this, you can do it too. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever worked a job?
So I wouldn't call it a job, but so I graduated from Vanderbilt in 2002. God, I'm old. Child, I'm old.
Girl, first
How old
all,
are you, Donnie?
45.
Ooh, bitch, now you're old. You're old. Okay, you old. I'm 39. Anyways, and so I went to college when I was 16.
I'm on my platform.
Hey, baby, I'm going to get you together. Come on now. You know, we're full transparency.
Full transparency.
Full transparency. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so I graduated from college. I graduated from high school when I was 16, graduated from college when I was 20. And honestly, I really didn't know. So when I first went to college, first of all growing up, I thought I was going to be an architect. Mm-hmm. So I was really into houses, blueprints. I would draw houses and blueprints and things of that nature. But I got pregnant the first time I had sex and I kept it as a secret from my whole family. My mom didn't find out until I was 7 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so with that happening, it's just like, oh no, I don't trust you. You're going to college right here in Nashville. You done got into Vanderbilt. This is a good school. That's where the fuck you're going, mm-hmm. where I can keep my eyes on you. You know what I'm saying? So Vanderbilt did not have an architectural program. So at that time, I needed to get into something else. I decided to get into computer engineering. Totally disliked it. This is not for me. It's too hard. I will admit, when I went to college, for me, it was more so a social thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was because I was 16. I was extremely sheltered. Mm-hmm. Before I went to college, I probably had only went out. I probably had only had like 4 or 5 outings with like friends and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I had never drunk a beer. I had never tasted alcohol, never smoked, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was a little angel. Other than, you know, got a little dick and got pregnant, you know.
Which I'm curious about.
We'll get to that later, Chad.
I'm like, keep going, but I'm curious about that. All right, keep going.
But yeah, so anyways, went to college, and while I was there, you know, so I needed to pick up a different major because I decided that computer engineering was not for me.
Okay.
And so I ended up getting into economics, which, you know, has definitely taught me a lot of things. But when I graduated, I really did not know what I wanted to do. And I had my great grandmother, you know, she was the woman in the family that had the most money. And she always talked about her financial advisor and how smart he was and the things that he had recommended for her and all of this, you know what I'm saying? And so I was like, you know, I want to be a financial advisor. I want to know, you know, what to do with my money and all that. So that's the only job I've ever had. But that job is more of like a self-employment platform, you know, and it honestly taught me a lot of the tools that I use today. You know, it taught me about saving. It taught me about investing. I was sitting down with doctors, lawyers, you name it, that had less than $5,000 worth of savings. And it's just like, you know, okay, we were taught in the Black community that to be successful, you needed to be a doctor or a lawyer. And these people ain't got no damn money. you know what I'm saying? And so it really taught me early on, it's not what you make, but it's what you do with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it gave me a lot of the financial background and foundation, you know, to get into a lot of the things that I've invested in today.
So you've also recently started a life insurance company.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, brand new. Yeah. Like literally just did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that have anything to do with your history kind of like in financial education?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's twofold. So one, of course, yes, going back to my roots, number one. Two, so I have a very close friend of mine, shout out Keshi. He has a company called Rejuveco. But he has been on me for quite some time. So for most of you guys that don't know, my only child passed October 2nd, 2022. And I really probably for 1 year straight was just a zombie walking, you know, just going through the motions, but not caring if this shit shut down. I don't give a damn, you know, like I just have to show up, you know, but my life is in shambles. I've lost the only person, you know, as a woman, as a mother, when you push somebody out into this world. And, you know, the one little quote that back in the day, our mom would tell them, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out.
Yep.
But I really, you know, had to find my daughter deceased, you know, and take her out. You know what I'm saying? And so very, very rough times, you know, but he stayed on me, you know, through so many things that I've been through. And so he had ended up getting into this industry, used to be a party promoter of mine. And so I visually seen him transition. And he was just like, Snoop, he was like, you know, I know you want to travel. I know you want to do stuff. He was like, you know, but you have such a great following. You already have the credibility. You know, you have the story. Because, you know, with my daughter, so I have life insurance on myself. I've always felt like it was extremely important, you know. And when I got married, I got life insurance on my wife, and I was trying to renew the life insurance on my daughter, but she had had a couple of DUIs that were pending. And so they wouldn't allow for me to get life insurance on her. So when she passed and had an untimely, you know, an untimely passing, I had to pay for it myself. Mm-hmm. And luckily, of course, I could afford it, but not many people can, you know, and it'd be some of the biggest bosses that be sitting around that when they pass, they family got to do a fish fry or have to do this or have to do that. You know what I mean? To in order to bury them. And I got to watching a show called, I think it's called Building America, but it was about like the Rockefellers, the Hiltons, you know, all of these big brand families, the Gettys. So, you know, when you see pictures and it's like Getty Images right there on the bottom, you know what I'm saying? And these individuals, so it started with one person who was the visionary. Some of it was like back to the 1800s, right? And making billions or hundreds of millions of dollars, and they decided to protect their wealth. And it's people that are now in 2024 that are living off what somebody did in the 1800s. And, you know, us as Black people, we just don't have that. You know what I'm saying? And so I want to teach that. I want to make sure that we know, you know, as Black individuals, you know, what we can do and how we can protect our wealth. You know what I'm saying? And like, it just don't make no sense for anybody to be walking around without life insurance, because we don't know. I can leave this studio today and get into a car accident and not be here.
Yeah.
And I hate to talk morbidly, but it's realistic.
Yeah.
You know? So, so I'm happy to re-enter this industry. I'm happy to be able to do something, just another thing to be able to change lives and inspire people. You know, I always tell people, baby, when my casket get lowered in the ground, hands gonna go up. Yeah. Because I'm gonna be done so many things in this world positively for individuals.
Mm. Do you feel like you are so casual with having conversations like that because of what you experienced with the loss of your daughter?
Yes. Even before that, you know, so when I first, so I would say, so when I had the hookah hideaway, there was a young lady that approached me, and I never forget, I'm not going to put her name out there because she's kind of going through a lot right now and I don't want attention on her, but she approached me and wanted to be my publicist. And I was just like, why do I need a publicist, you know? And she was just like, you know, well, you need to tell your story. You know, like, you know, people will want to know the story behind a business owner. So I used to always say, like, I want to be rich, but I don't want to be known. I don't want to be famous. Mm. That's not possible living in Atlanta. Okay. Because the entrepreneurs are famous here. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, she came to me and, you know, she made me comfortable, you know, with doing that. And I ended up realizing that my story helps so many people. You know, I've been sexually molested. I've gone through just so many different tragedies and adversities, you know. And I think it's extremely important to tell your story if you're able to. Now, you don't have to, you know what I'm saying? But if you're able to, because people are going to go through some things in life, you know, and you just never know who that can touch, who that can help heal, who that can help overcome what they're going through in life, you know?
Yeah. I think it's important to share your story. People who especially are new to you, they're coming to your page and they're seeing all the trips to Japan and all the places that you're going. You're always on somebody's trip, right? They're seeing how you're building your business. You're always sharing screenshots of people who are hiring you, who are joining your programs. And it looks perfect. Like, you look from the outside looking in, unless you catch you in that small window where you're posting these stories. Outside of that, it looks so perfect, right? You're the perfect entrepreneur. You have multiple businesses. I don't even call you a serial entrepreneur. You're really like a mega entrepreneur.
Let me start using
you're a mega entrepreneur. You do what you do, and you do it in a very big way. And so for me, to me, it's like mega entrepreneurship. But when we're thinking about here on Full Transparency, this audience loves to hear the journey behind the success, right? And there is someone who's dealing with a lot of turmoil, and not just with what you've experienced with your daughter, but you have a lot of things that you've been through. And I want to start way in the back, because you just said something that I didn't know about you. I didn't know that you had any type of molestation. Was that as a child? This is prior to small child, prior to you.
Okay. Yeah. Like under age 10.
Under age 10. Is this family who's doing this?
So, and I think that we actually go through a lot of that in the Black family, Black household. But yeah, so for me, I was actually sexually molested probably from like age 7 to 10, you know, until we moved from Detroit and moved to Nashville. It was a secret that I thought that I would carry to the grave to me, because you're gonna have me kind of dropping a few tears here. But I think, you know, a lot of people that experience that, they keep it to themselves, because number one, it's embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing to tell somebody that somebody is having sex with you at 9 or 8, you know, or seven, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, for me, it was a major secret, you know, in my life. I used to always think to myself, you know, I wonder if, you know, I ever tell my mama this, you know what I mean? And I never had any plans on doing it. But the same person that did it had did it to another very, very close member of my family. And that person told my mother, and he said to them, you know, I think he did it to Michelle as well. Mm-hmm. And when my mom asked me, you know, I told her the truth, you know. But and it was crazy because I always felt like, oh, that didn't do nothing to me, you know. I'm good, you know what I'm saying? I'm strong, mm-hmm. you know, da 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 da, you know, as an adult woman, you know. And what really hit me was Tyler Perry did an interview with Oprah, and he was talking about the sexual molestation that he had went through as a child. And I just broke down crying so hard, like a baby, you know what I mean? And, you know, I ended up telling my mom, I said, you know, I said, I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm gay. And because, you know, when I first, I didn't really come out to my mom. Somebody had told her, you know what I'm saying? And then when I started dressing the way that I dress and not dressing as a feminine woman, my mother had questions because it's just like, okay, well, you know, I could kind of hide it, you know what I'm saying? But now you dressing this way, mm-hmm. I can't hide it, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. you know, why are you dressing this way? So I used it to my advantage. I'm like, well, you know, I done been molested and all that. You know, I just don't want men to look at me that way.
Yeah.
But maybe it was true.
But you may have felt that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So... But it wasn't until I seen that interview with Tyler Perry and I really realized that, you know, this really did have an effect on my life. And I wonder who I could have been or who I would have been had this not happened to me, you know, as a child.
What happened to the man who did this to you? Did y'all ever, like, press charges?
No, because it came out so late, you know. I honestly was not interested in pressing charges. I don't have... any dealings with him. What ended up happening is, so he was an orphan. His parents had, his mother had killed his father, and his mother had died in a car accident 1 year later after she had killed his father. It was a self-defense type situation. And so the great-grandmother that I was talking about earlier, she took him in and raised him. My mother felt bad for him and had him around us and was trying to do a good deed, you know. And once we moved, so he was kind of raised as our brother, you know, kind of like as our big brother.
So he's not very much older.
No. Okay. No, not extremely older at all. And so once we moved to Nashville, we no longer had any communication with him. He was no longer able to do these things. And so when my great-grandmother passed, that was the first time I had to see him again when I went to the funeral. And I'll never forget, I was standing in the hotel room, and he called my phone. You know, the number wasn't saved in my phone. I hadn't talked to him. I had been around his daughter. He has a daughter, very beautiful young lady. I had been good to her and all of that. I had been around his wife, his current wife. Never said a word to her or anything. And child, you know, I can get a couple of drinks and end up, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Never said anything. And so anyways, I don't know if it was right before or right after the funeral, but anyway, he called me. I'll never forget it. I was standing in the window of this hotel looking out at the city of Detroit, beautiful water, all of this stuff, you know. And he called me and he apologized. And, you know, he said, you know, he said, I just want to let you know I'm so sorry, you know, for what I did to you. And I know it probably changed the outlook of your life. And he said, you know, but I was a child that was hurt as well. Things had been done to me, mm-hmm. and I didn't know how to handle it. And I ended up hurting so many other people in the meantime. And he was just like, you know, I really miss, you know, you, Michael, and Mario. Those are my brothers, three M's. And he was just like, you know, y'all were my brothers and sister, you know, and I really miss y'all, you know. And he was like, you know, I just really, really apologize. And that apology meant a lot to me, you know, mm-hmm. it really did. I always wondered too, like, would I ever get that apology? You know what I mean? Or like, would this be just like this huge secret, you know what I mean, in my life? You know what I'm saying? So that was a full circle moment, you know.
Did you accept the apology?
I did. I accepted the apology, but I never really want to be around him again. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to see him. With that funeral, there were some family get-togethers and stuff like that that I kind of avoided, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can't.
Yeah, I find it shocking that he would even be able to still be at family reunions and things like that.
A family reunion. You know, it was our great-grandmother who passed, who essentially was his mother. She had adopted him. You know, so that was
he had to be,
you know, he had lived a hard life, you know. It doesn't mean because you live a hard life, you do wrong to others, you know, but hurt people.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sorry you had to go through that. Is that part of the reason why you feel like you were very sheltered from that point on when it finally came out? Is it now that like,
no, it didn't come out until I was in college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't come out till I was in college. I'll never forget, my mom had called me and I don't really want to say who it is, because it's somebody extremely close to me, and I don't want to put their business out there, but a very close family member of mine was going through some things, and he ended up, you know, seeing what had been done to him and brought my name into it, Chad, telling my business, you know. And so my mom called me and asked me, and you know, for the first time, I was truthful and told her. And I was just like, look, I don't want to talk about it. I got finals going on, you know, da, 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 da. But it was a relief that she knew, because like I said, I had always wondered, you know, if I would ever tell her, or, you know, if it would come out or what, you know. But none of my close family members have any dealings with him at all. And then it also had come out that he had either tried to do it or had successfully done it with other family members.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, it was pretty rampant.
It's also very big of you to accept the apology. I couldn't imagine being in that situation, what I would do. It's always easy to say what you would do when you're not in the situation.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, when it's years later and you have time to not necessarily heal, but get out of the anger phase, mm-hmm. you know, you can do that. I don't know if I totally accepted the apology, you know, because I still have nothing to do with him to this day. If I walked past him, I don't even know if I would say hello, you know, but the apology was appreciated.
Yeah. You need it. It was closure.
Yeah.
Did that
impact? It was closure for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because I hadn't had that happen, but you've had experiences with people. It's like, did they even care? Like, do they even realize they did something that was wrong?
Yes.
And acknowledging it kind of brings you the closure that you need.
Yep.
Did that affect how you showed up as a parent to your own daughter?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. My daughter was not really allowed to spend a night, you know, at a lot of people's houses. You know, they can come over here. You're not going over there. Mm-hmm. I was very watchful over her in that regards, due to what I had been through, for sure.
Yeah, I could imagine that was a challenging time for you. So you go through that, you're a young mom, you're mm-hmm. in college, mm-hmm. you come out, you're working this one sort of kind of job, which financial advising or financial education really is, you kind of got to eat what you kill.
Yeah, yeah.
You come into the restaurant space. Where mm-hmm. does the salon suites industry fit in?
So the salon suites industry fit in because the restaurant space, I mean, it was making me a lot of money. It was going great, but it was very time consuming.
Right.
It was not passive. It's the restaurant space provided me with income that is the hardest income I've ever had to work for in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, number one, diversify my income. Mm-hmm. And then two, I wanted to find something that would be semi-passive and that would be more of like a daytime venture. People wouldn't be calling me, you know, because most of my restaurants, they didn't close at 3 a.m., some 6 a.m. So it's like I can get a call at 3, I can get a call at 4, you know. And so I wanted to have something that was just easy, You know, so I started searching around and talking to a few people. You know, I've always been the type of person to like invest in my look and, you know, how I present myself. And I am not an individual that washes my own hair, braids my own hair or anything like that. And so I started realizing that instead of going to salons, I was going to salon suites. Mm-hmm. And then in going to these salon suites, the owner was never anywhere around, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'm like, now what's going on over here, baby? You know, shit, I need me one of these, you know? Yeah. And at first it was just like, okay, well, you know, I don't do hair. I don't do nails. I don't do lashes. You know, I can't do this because I don't do these type of things.
Yeah.
And then I realized, hell, they don't either. You know, this is literally a beauty business in a real estate industry, you know?
Mm, that's good.
And so a friend of mine had actually come to me and she wanted us to open up one together. And, you know, she gave me all of the details, all the information. And I eventually told her, I said, you know, hey, thanks for bringing this to me. But, you know, I think you should do yours and I should do mine, you know, because, you know, we don't really need each other. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so that was essentially what ended up happening. And I am just so thankful that I found that industry and got into it because it is, when I tell you, it's so low stress.
Yeah, that's your real passive income.
It is.
So I see that you travel and you help other salon suites owners.
I do. So do a lot of different things. So my coaching program is not focused on helping people open up restaurants because it's high stress. It takes a lot of money to do it. It's very high operating costs. I decided to focus my coaching program around the salon suites because, number one, it's something that any and everybody can do. You don't have to have business experience to do it. You don't have to have a large amount of capital to get involved. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of high overhead. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was something that I could teach the everyday person how to do. So, yes, I travel all around the world helping people open up their salon suites, helping people get their credit together so that they can get business funding to do it and not have to do it without spending a dime out of their own pocket.
Mm. Yep. And most of the people who go into salon, like I can think of a bunch of hairstylists right now that I know that are working in suites mm-hmm. and the money that they're paying every single, like yeah. one of my hairstylists pays for her very small suite, like $850 a week. Just to operate this one person.
Oh, baby, I need her at Remedy.
I'm like, just to operate. She actually is looking for a new home, but to operate this one person suite. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's insane to mm-hmm. me. You could, so there's really a high profitability there. And I'm mm-hmm. looking at people like her, like, why wouldn't you just own one of these?
You know what? Some people don't do it because, one, they lack the confidence. Two, they lack the education. And three, they feel like they don't have the money to do it. Mm. And that's why I tell y'all, come to me, baby. I got you. I can help you with the confidence. I can help you with the self-doubt. I can help you get the money. Look, we can get these businesses off the ground. You know what I mean? And I think it's especially beneficial for individuals that are already in the beauty industry because most of those individuals, they need to get from behind the chair.
Yeah.
You know, because as you get older, you're getting carpal tunnel. You know, you're tired of being on your feet and all of that. And a lot, they have no retirement plan. Mm-hmm. So what is your retirement plan going to be? Open you up a salon suite.
Yeah. And collect this rent. From
exactly. Yeah. Create a legacy, you know, for your family, you know, some financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to help over 500 individuals do it.
Start their own salon suites.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
I know that I was interested. Me and David, when we came on the Social Proof podcast, we were interested in starting a salon suite.
Now, why y'all ain't do it?
Because that was right at the time that your daughter passed.
Because mm-hmm. even when we released that podcast, and I couldn't even really promote it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you remember, but.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. And so I remember you being on the podcast and you were talking about how your daughter
because
like
we went
right
to lunch
hand.
And everything.
We went to lunch.
Yeah, my baby.
Right hand. She was your right hand mm-hmm. at all the spots.
Oh, yeah, honey. And she would always remind me, I've been there through every step of the way. These people knew, you know, I help you open every business you have, you know. Yeah, I miss her so much.
Yeah. Have you talked about yet everything surrounding her passing? Like, I know this was.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, I have.
I've never heard you speak about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been really curious. I know the magnitude of our relationship was you coming onto the podcast. Mm-hmm. I came to your birthday party.
Yeah, we were kind of like kind of starting our, you know, relationship, friendship thing.
And then that happened. Yeah. And listen, when I saw you on social media, because our daughters are just about the same
mm-hmm.
age.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw you on social media breaking down in this way, like, I was scared for you. I didn't know if you were going to survive that, mm-hmm. right? Which is a normal feeling. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you were going to survive that. And I know that I would just check on you sometime. I didn't know what to do. You know, you don't know what to do. Yeah. I'm like, okay, she's saying leave her alone, but I'm going to still just say something, you know, mm-hmm. let you know that people are there. But I was all, it scared me. And I probably put a closer lock and chain on my own daughter.
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling me that.
Mm-hmm, in that situation, terrified. What happened, Snoop?
I had my daughter very young. We were best friends and mother and daughter, mm-hmm. you know. And so my daughter, she was the perfect child, you know, all throughout high school, you know, all of that. Perfect child. Never gave me a lick of trouble. I have the card that I gave her when she graduated from high school, you know, and just telling her, you know, just how proud I was of her. You know, I doted on her so much. And during those years, I sheltered her. I kept her away. You know, she wasn't really allowed to come to my restaurants, you know. She maybe had come to Escobar 3 times, you know. She met 2 Chainz 1 time, you know. I was just very, very protective of her, nor did she care to, you know. She was, you know, into who she was and all of that. My daughter was never a starstruck person or into any of those things. And so when she graduated, she went to college at LSU. And I was extremely proud of her. You know, we did the little college tours and all of that stuff. I thought LSU was just a great campus, had good academics. You know, she wanted to be an attorney. She wants to study criminal defense. I had wanted to be an attorney, but I had her very young, and I didn't feel like I could take the time to go into law school because I needed to jump into motherhood and all of these things. My daughter was actually in foster care for the first 4 years of her life. So, you know, she went to LSU. She was there for 1 year. And I mean, just that whole time, she was just extremely homesick. She did not like it. She really didn't make many friends. She didn't go to not even one party. Mm-hmm. Me and my mom went for parents weekend. That was the first game she ever went to. You know, of course, this is LSU. They've got major basketball and football games. You know what I mean? Wasn't really there enjoying it. And I'll never forget. Myself, we were taking her back to school after a break, and it was myself, my best friend Tiffany, and another close friend of mine, and we were at a restaurant in New Orleans before we were going to take her to Baton Rouge to go back to school. And you know, we were having a good time, you know, eating our little oysters, and you know, she liked her crawfish, da da da, and she just literally just broke down crying, and she was just like, "I'm so miserable here, guys," you know. And so at that point, I was just like, you know, I gotta let her come on back home, you know. But I felt like there weren't any good colleges here as well, you know, that met my academic standards for my daughter. You know, mind you, I'm somebody that graduated from Vanderbilt, a top 20 university, you know. And it's like she's looking to go to fucking Georgia State, you know. But anyway, seeing that she, you know, was mentally down and, you know, probably falling into a little depression, you know, I was just like, okay, Plum, come on home, you know. So she comes home, immediately an attitude change, you know, she's back vibrant, back happy again. And so she was working and going to school full time. And the job that she was working at, it just, you know, she was working a lot of hours and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. they were taking advantage of her, you know, not paying her well. And I was just like, look, come work for me. You know, yeah. I got you. You can do the social media. You in the social media anyway. I'll pay you really well, you know, and you'll be good. And so she just really got into my businesses deeper than I thought that she would. You know, mind you, I'm a restaurateur. So at the time I had 5 restaurants in the city that were open and they were booming, you know what I mean? And so people that couldn't get to me were able to get to my daughter because she was a much nicer person than I am, you know, because I've gone through the hard knock life. You know what I'm saying? I know who to stay away from and all of that. And she does not, you know, my daughter, before she started working with me, she didn't drink or anything. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, you know, she started dating different type of women, you know, that probably were a little bit above her league, you know, that were older, trying to take advantage of her. You know, she started drinking. We kind of literally watched her kind of deteriorate, you know what I mean? While being in, you know, these nightlife businesses. And so I had found out around the time that I got married to my soon-to-be ex-wife, she started kind of going through a little depression because she did not care for her. She really did not want me to marry her. She felt like she wasn't truly for me and that I was making a huge mistake and that I wasn't listening to her. And she really didn't have any evidence of this. It was more so like an intuition. Mm-hmm. An inkling, yeah. You know, which she ended up being right, you know. But anyways, at my wedding, I felt like she was on something other than alcohol, yeah. You know, because in my suite, we weren't really drinking because, you know, I'm nervous. You know, I'm about to go get married for the first time ever. I'm nervous. I'm happy. I'm tons of various different emotions, you know. But she just has a different little edge to her, and it's like, okay, well, now we've only taken 2 shots now. What you got going on, right. You know? And so kind of said something to her about it then, and I mean, she just was a ball of emotions. Even my wedding pictures, she's probably only in half of them because, and it was just like also too, okay, was she acting like this also because she's the only child, mm-hmm. and we're so close? And all of this stuff, you know, so even like my brother and my mom, they were upset with her, like, Kateri, why are you acting like this, you know? And so anyways, long story short, I did find out that she had started doing Percocets from time to time. And, you know, Percocets is something that I feel like to a lot of people is so normal, you know, they make it normal with this rap culture and, you know, and I'm not blaming anything on the rap culture, guys, you know, but when you hear about things and then, you know, you doing them in the dark, it's just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, everybody doing it, you know what I mean? And so anyways, I did end up finding out, you know, cause I confronted her about it maybe about a week before she passed. And, you know, I knew that she had been like over drinking and not just drinking a lot, you know, but she was small, you know, so, you know, you take 4 shots, you know, and you 110 pounds, yeah. You're going to feel it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then you hopping in your Mercedes driving off, you know what I mean? And it's like, I've told you, I will get you an Uber, you know, wherever you need to go. So anyway, she had gotten her last DUI Thursday before she passed. And, you know, I told her, I said, look, Kateri, there is a law, I forgot what the name of it was, but one of my friends had told me about it. I said, you know, I'm going to put you in a therapeutic rehab. I can force you to go as your mother, mm-hmm. you know, and I am not going to lose you. You know, I don't know what you're going through. I wasn't in foster care. You know, I don't know what you're going through or what's going on in your head, you know, but I'm here for you. You know, if you need me, I don't want you to think, you know, just because I got married, I'm too busy, da 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 da. Like, Plum, you know, I love you too much. I cannot lose you. Like, mm-hmm. please don't do this to me. You know, like, we got to get this together. Oh, no, I'm fine, you know, but I'll go back to therapy, you know. I said, okay, I'll pay for it.
Hey, entrepreneur, are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof Podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news. You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside.
So that was that situation. And then Friday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was going to go eat with a friend of mine, and my mom called me and she said, hey, she said, go to Katara's house right now. She was just like, the little girl she talked to, she said, you know, she just called me and she said that she was on the phone with Katara. They were watching a movie on FaceTime and it seemed like she had like coded out or something. And I was just like, what does that mean? You know? And she was just like, I don't know, just go over there. So I called my soon to be ex-wife, cause we live in Buckhead. My daughter lived in Buckhead. I said, hey, go over to Katara's place right now. So she goes over there. I pull up. They had already called 911. So they're knocking on the door. She's not answering. They pry her door open. When we walk in, she kind of like wakes up, you know. So they're asking her, you know, they're like, you know, what's your name? You know, what's your address? Da-da-da-da. You know, she seems to be good, you know. So they leave. And so at that point, it's me, my soon-to-be ex-wife, and the young lady she was talking to at the time. And, you know, I'm like, Katara, what the fuck is going on? You know, like, look at you. Look in this mirror right here. Look at you. Like, you look high. What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? So we end up going into her bedroom and, you know, having a one-on-one conversation. And she's just like, you know, I just want to make you happy, you know. Like, she was just like, you know, but, you know, I'm going through so much, you know, da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, you know, when did it ever get to this point? You ain't never seen me do no shit like this. Like, what is going on, you know? And she's just like, you know what, you know, mentioned somebody that I'm friends with that DJs for me. You know, I said, you know, she started doing it with them, you know, and, you know, everybody does it and, you know, it's not a big deal and all that. I'm like, yes, the fuck it is a big deal. I was like, something is wrong with these pills. I was like, Katara, give me the rest of the pills that you have. And she was just like, oh, I don't have any more. It was just that one. I said, you ain't just went and bought one pill. And, you know, this is something that I'll always have to live with. But for a slight second, I thought in my head, I'm going to tear this fucking room up and find the rest of these pills. But also at the time, she's 22 years old. Yeah. I don't want to embarrass her. Little girl she dated is right out there. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't do it. And as I'm thinking that, so then my soon-to-be ex-wife barges in the room and she is not an intrusive person at all. And she's like, Katara, what the fuck is this? And it was like, one of the pills, but kind of like crushed up, you know? So like these young people, child, they be snorting these little pills and just crazy shit, you know? And so, you know, at that point she was embarrassed, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, look, get your shit. You're coming with me. Mm-hmm. You're staying with me this weekend. So she stayed with me. That happened Friday night. She stayed with me that entire weekend, Sunday. And when she went home Sunday night, she took another one and passed. And the pills were laced with fentanyl. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And so all that Sunday, we were trying to get into my mom. So when that happened Friday night, my mom had came into town. They were extremely, extremely, extremely close. So my mom came into town, you know, checking on her. So my mom had been here all weekend as well. My mom left Sunday. They were supposed to go to church together that morning. So, you know, my mom first was trying to get in touch with her. You know, she couldn't get in touch with her. And, you know, by the time I woke up, I just kind of like felt like very heavy, you know, that morning. And, you know, my mom was like, you know, have you talked to Katera? Da, da, da. And I'm like, I'm kind of annoyed. I'm like, no, girl, I've been dealing with Katera all fucking weekend. You know, I just opened up my damn eyes. No, I have not talked to Katera, but I'm about to call her because I had already told her, look, I'm about to be on your motherfucking ass. You know what I'm saying? This Lalise is going to be gone. You're coming and living with me, you know, this type of situation. You know what I'm saying? And so my mom, she lives in Nashville. So, you know, it's about 3.5-hour, 4-hour drive. So my mom is calling me like every 30 minutes, you know, have you talked to Katera? She's just like, this is not like her, you know, like even if, you know, I'm upset with her or anything, she's just going to say, you know, I need some time, grams, you know, da, 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 you know. And even as my daughter was going through whatever, she was gonna, extremely sweet girl, you know what I mean? Very soft spoken voice, you know, da, 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 da. And, so I ended up going to her place probably. I said, you know, well, you know, this was when this little Jeffrey Dahmer little series was out on Netflix. Yes. So we was all into watching that. And I was just like, mama, you know, she probably, I was like, she's probably embarrassed. She's probably just happy to be home, you know, had to be over here all this weekend. She's probably just happy to be home, you know, and probably stayed up, you know, late, you know, watching that show. We'll hear from her, you know, it's nothing. And so the day, you know, increasingly goes by. And so at about 5 o'clock, me and my soon to be ex-wife, you know, we went over there and, yeah, we were able to get up cause she lived in a very secure building. And so we were able to get up, you know, we knocking on the door, da, 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 da. I could tell that she had the privacy lock on the door. Because mind you, just that Friday, they had to pry her door open. So it was still kind of a little loose, you know, but I could see she had the privacy lock on, you know, da, 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 da. So I'm just like, okay, maybe she's just asleep, you know. But then I kind of also started to think in my head, like, this ain't, something is up, you know what I mean? But I'm also like, God would do me like this. Nah, like, not my daughter, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so, you know, I went home. And the friend that I was supposed to be meeting for dinner that Friday, well, my mom had told me to go to my daughter's apartment. She was coming over for dinner. My soon-to-be ex-wife was cooking dinner for us and all that. And so she came over for dinner, maybe about 7. And, you know, we're sitting there trying to have regular conversation. I was just like, yeah, I can't do this. I got to go back up to my daughter's spot. Like, something is up. You know what I mean? Because then now, like, a couple of her friends were hitting me. Like, you know, have you talked to Katera? You know, I haven't heard from Katera all day, you know. Da 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 da, you know. So I leave my house, me and her, you know, we leave the house, we go over there. I call the police on the way to the house, and you know, they meet me over there. You know, we go up because now at this point, the security at the apartment wouldn't even allow me up, you know. So the police come, we go up there, and you know, he's banging. I was just like, you know, please just. You know, maybe your knock will be louder than mine, you know, and maybe she can hear it, you know, da 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 da, you know. So, you know, we're banging on the door, banging on the door, banging on the door. And, you know, we're walking. He was just like, you know, well, there's not much more I can do. He said, you know, the other night they were able to prod her door open because it was a, you know, they said it maybe she had overdosed or something like that. He was just like, you know, but if any parent, if every parent called us, because they, he was just like, it hasn't even been 24 hours. He said, you know, but I'll tell you this. He said, you know, that door is kind of loose. And at the time I had been working out a lot. I was probably about 20 pounds heavier up here on my chest than I am now. You know, he said, you know, if it was me, you know, this is what I would do. And so he leaves, and so my son will be asked, she was like, you know, did you hear what he said? She was like, you know, we need to, you know, try to get in there. So we snuck up under the garage and rolled in, and somebody was ordering a pizza or something. We were able to get on the elevator, and we got off of the elevator, got back up at her place, and I kicked her door in. And as soon as I got in there, I knew, you know, because I was calling her name, all this stuff like that. And she was on our couch, you know, and she was in rigor mortis at that time, you know, because she had, according to the coroner's report, she had been gone since 5 a.m., you know, that morning. So, yeah, you know, that was crazy, you know, just a life-changing moment, you know, that you just don't think, you know, what happened to you. You know, you see it happening to other people, and, you know, I never forget, you know, so, you know, I'm wilding out, having my antics in the hallway and stuff like that. You know, I, as soon as we got in, I had told Sydney, I said, you know, baby, call 911, call 911. You know, so she's on the phone with 911. They're trying to tell her how to do CPR. She's asking me to help her. And, you know, I'm no good. And it's just like, I don't want to do, she's gone. She's dead. You know, I'm not doing CPR, you know. And also I was on the phone with my mother at the same time, because once we got in, or once we got on her apartment floor again, I told my mom, I said, okay, well, I'm here. I'm going to get in. She's fine. You know, I'll call you back. And she said, no, don't hang up. And so my mom heard my reaction, you know, when I got into her apartment. And, I mean, my mom dropped the phone. She's like, you know, y'all going to have to bury me too, you know. And, you know, that was very hard. But, you know, so I'm in the hallway hollering and screaming. People are coming out of their apartments and stuff, you know. And one of the things I'll just never forget is, like, when, like, the EMS got there, and, like, I could just hear, like, in the, like, kind of, like, in the back of my, like, head or back of my ear, I hear them being, like, I hear them be say, oh, yeah, she's gone, you know? And it's like, you know, I knew it, you know, but
to hear it,
just, you know, for somebody to say that. And then, you know, we probably had to wait maybe about, like, 4 hours for the medical examiner to come in. So, like, I had to pee. I didn't even want to go back into her apartment because I was scared of her body. Like, I didn't even want to see her like that. You know, I didn't want to see her like that. And I was also, like, kind of, like, scared to be around a dead body. You know what I'm saying? And so I ended up having to use the bathroom because we're waiting, you know, for 4 hours. And I never forget cussing one of my friends, they was just like, you know, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. Let's go. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm not leaving my fucking child. You know what I'm saying? And so anyways, I was just about to get on the elevator and go down and use the restroom. And as soon as the elevator opened, it was the medical examiner with the gurney.
Oh, my God.
And it just killed me. You know, I just, like, turned around and just, like, ran down the hallway. And, you know, once he did what he did, you know, he came up to me and gave me his card. And he was just like, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. And that just really took me out, you know, because it's like, this is my daughter.
Yep.
That you talking about, you know? So, yeah, that has been a journey and an experience. And, like, I always kind of feel like I've kind of, like, lived my life, like, outside of myself. And I always felt like I was going to go through something, like, major in life. Like, I've had, like, dreams about it and shit like that. But I thought that it would be me, you know. I thought that I would have an early demise and that my daughter would take over my businesses. And, you know, but I never thought that I would lose her, you know. I never thought that something like that was even possible, you know, especially with how she was, you know, growing up and stuff like that. And it's like, it's crazy to see somebody crumble in that little short amount of time. And, you know, it also kind of made me question myself, you know, because I was so busy trying to get ready for my wedding and, you know, all of this bullshit, you know, that, you know, I kind of missed some things, you know, that was going on with my daughter, you know, at the time. And so, you know, when that happened, you know, I really just wanted to just run away, you know, like, you know, I just really just didn't want to be here. You know, it's like, you know, you find yourself posting pictures and, you know, all of this shit, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, of course, everybody is hitting me up. You know, I'm very well known. You know, it was very, very tough, you know, walking into that funeral. I think me and my family probably came to my daughter's funeral maybe about an hour late because I just didn't even want to fucking be there. And then when I came there, I literally came up to the casket and walked right out because it was just a nightmare. It was like I was in a, and I don't want to say a dream, because when you think of a dream, you think of a good thing, you know what I mean? You know, but I came in and just like literally, you know, walked right back out, you know, because I just could not handle it. I could not believe. And I never forget that night when she passed. You know, I came back to my house and I just felt like shit. Like I was like riding in a Rolls Royce, pulling up to a $2 million fucking mansion. And it's just like, I got all this shit, but I couldn't save my own fucking daughter. And I walked in the door. I literally went to the first, I have three bars in my house. And I went to the first bar and I just started drinking anything that I fucking could. And, you know, then I had to call her father and tell him, because I knew that this shit was going to go viral and I didn't want, you know, him to find out, you know, from social media and stuff like that. And then I called my mom, or maybe my mom called me. And, you know, I was just telling her, I was just like, you know, how am I going to bury my daughter? I was just like, you know, I ain't never even planned no funeral. I probably had only been to one funeral at that time in my life. You know, she was just like, I'm going to help you. You know, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. You know, we're going to get through this together. And, you know, she has, you know, for sure. You know, my mom has been through a lot of tragedy and adversity. But, you know, whereas I was my daughter's mother, you know, my mom was her best friend. You know, they were very, very close, you know. And my mom lost her mother and sister when she was 15. Her father actually killed her mother and sister when she was 15. She was spending the night at a cousin's house. And my mom said losing my daughter affected her more than it did losing her mother and sister.
Oh my God.
So, you know, it's been a very, very great loss to us. You know, my family, you know, it's been crazy, you know, crazy, you know. And I really didn't care about nothing for like a good year. I didn't care if Escobar shut the fuck down, if Remedy shut down. I did not fucking care. Like, I really just needed to pay the bills just to keep the lights on at my damn house. I started drinking a lot, you know. I realized like how people can get on drugs and shit like that, you know, when they go through stuff. It made me be a much less judgmental person because people have been through some hard ass shit in life. Unless you are a strong ass motherfucker, it is easy to crumble. You know, like, life is hard as hell. And to lose somebody, have somebody that means so much to you ripped out of your life overnight. People that ain't been through that shit, they just don't know, you know? And, you know, it really, really had me fucked up, you know, for a long time. I mean, it's just going to be 2 years, you know, this October. I'm still very fucked up over it. You know, I will be until the day I die. You know what I'm saying? Like, not only was that my daughter, that was my person. My daughter idolized me. You know, she thought I was everything. You know, I will never, if I have more kids to this day, they'll never look at me like that. Because now I'm already rich. Yeah. I'm already this. Yeah. My daughter saw me do everything, you know. And I, you know, sometimes I feel like I didn't even appreciate it as much, you know, while she was here, you know. So, you know, it's a lot to take in. it's a lot to learn from. And, you know, it's just life is something else, you know?
There's nothing that somebody can say, you know, listening to you outline the story. And I almost wish it was still mysterious to me what happened, because now being able to see that scene from your narration play out, having a 22-year-old daughter, and they go through things, right? And I remember being in that space where I'm watching you and I'm like calling my daughter every 5 minutes. If she, like, I've literally moved her in two doors down from me. Like, that's how your situation impacted me. And I was so worried about you, Snoop. I am so glad, though, that there is no bright side, but I'm happy that you're here, you know?
Yeah.
There was a moment where I'm like, she's not gonna make it. She's not gonna make it. And it was almost like you were running from the situation and trip after trip after trip.
Yeah.
And it was haunting me because it was just too similar of a situation, right, with the ages of our daughters. And I am happy that you're here with the strength to even just share your story that has to, like, to relive it every time somebody asks you about it, mm-hmm. has to feel like it's happening over and over and over again. And we know that it's changed you, mm-hmm. obviously. If you're thinking about yourself in this moment now, it's obvious that it's changed you, but is there anything, any perspective that you would use to communicate to other moms or mothers
Definitely.
Out there?
I say for me also too, like, one thing that was the turning point for me, I never forget it. January, I went on a birthday trip with a friend of mine and they had left. I stayed an extra day and I was watching Shannon Sharpe podcast that he had did an interview with Ric Flair. Mm. And I think somebody sent it to me, you know. Shout out to my Instagram followers, because some of my Instagram followers have checked on me and been there for me more than some of my family members. Like, I have people on Instagram that check on me every single day. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But anyway, somebody has sent me this podcast, because I don't even watch a lot of podcasts. Somebody has sent it to me, and Ric Flair was talking about the passing, the overdose of his son, and how it affected him. And, you know, he was crying on this podcast and he said, you know, it was a moment like mine, you know, with them telling him he's gone, you know. And he said, you know, I went across the street and went to the bar and I didn't stop drinking for 4 years, you know. And I was actually in bed. I was about to go to sleep. I had, you know, had a decent little day, and I mean, it just broke me down so much. I ended up going to the casino after that and having a couple of drinks, and it was just like an epiphany came over me. And I said, you know, I will not lose myself behind this, because that would kill my daughter twice. For her to know that she made a mistake, she did not do this on purpose, for her to know that she made a mistake and cost me everything that I've worked for my entire life, that would hurt her even more. And I was just like, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to try to allow this to fuel me. You know, this is my life. This is what God has allowed to happen. If he did not want it to happen, it would not have happened. You know, and I am going to allow this to somehow strengthen me to help other people in some type of way. To be vocal about it, as I have with everything that I've gone through in my life, but I will not allow this to destroy everything that I've worked for. And at that point, I just kind of like made a decision that, you know, I'm just going to try to be strong, you know, and work through it, even though every day is hard, you know, but I'm going to try to be strong, you know, yeah. and work through it, you know? And so, what I would say to other moms is to love your children fiercely. You know, we are blessed to be mothers, to be able to bring another world, another person in this world, you know, a man can't do that. You know, a man needs a woman to have their child. You know, you got a lot of men out here that want kids, you know, but if you are a mother, you know, be good to your kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know so many fucked up ass mothers and they be saying shit about their kids. And it's just like, I wish I could have one more moment with my daughter. Like, are you crazy? You know what I mean? Cherish them. Sometimes we take advantage of our kids and not take advantage, but, you know, we don't realize because, you know, we work so hard. You know, we do so much for them. They can be little shitheads at times. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They get on our damn nerves, yes. You know, but what would you do if they weren't here? If something happened to them? Mm-hmm. You know, and so we always have to think about that. You know what I mean? And you know, I think that's the biggest thing, you know, that I would say to other mothers, you know, and to the other mothers that have lost children, like myself, and especially, you know, only children, but to lose your only child, your first and your only child, it is just so devastating. Also, because, you know, now I'm a gay woman, you know, I'm not just going out and laying down with a nigga making another child. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's another thing, you know, in itself as well. But be grateful for what you have and for the people that you have in your life. They can be taken away at any moment.
Yeah. You mentioned that you had Instagram people who connected with you and checked on you more than your own family.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I...
More than some of my own family.
More than some of them. And from what I've observed, if I'm correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that this situation heightened the trouble that you were having in your marriage.
It did. Yeah. It did, for sure. For yeah. sure. Yeah.
And this was the start of where divorce became...
Yeah, so I definitely feel like had my daughter not passed, you know, me and my soon-to-be ex-wife would absolutely still be together. You know, we were planning on having kids. We were planning on having twins. You know, that had to be derailed. And I just feel like she just wasn't strong enough, you know, to be there for me, you know, even from day one. But, you know, for me, I got married to have somebody with me through the ups and the downs of life. You know, anybody can be with you when shit is good. You know, you opening businesses, you buying Rolls Royces, buying the $1 million homes and all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It takes a special person that can get with you, that can go through those type of moments with you. And I just don't think she was strong enough, you know. I don't think that she did not love me. Mm-hmm. I think she loved me as much as she was capable, you know, of loving me. But yeah, it absolutely started the spiral, you know, mm-hmm. of our marriage. You know, we were just dealt a very bad hand. You know, yeah. we had only been married for 8 months when my daughter passed, you know, so, I don't have any animosity towards her at this point. You know, some time has passed. We're still going through our divorce process. You know, so I'm still legally married right now. Mm-hmm. In my heart, I'm not married. I haven't spoken to her since the middle of March of this year. So 5 months or so. I still have love for her. I probably will always have love for her because that is a person that I shared the experience with that I thought that I would be with for the rest of my life, you know. I feel like, you know, she just was very weak, you know, during this situation. And anybody can be, you know. I think a lot of people probably pass judgment, but they don't know how they would be, you know what yeah. I'm saying, if they had to go through a situation like that. I definitely had some moments of shutting down and not wanting to be around anybody. I do feel like had she been a different person, a more compassionate person, more of a leader, that it kind of could have helped me out of my grief sooner, mm-hmm. you know. But also, I knew who she was when I married her. I just didn't think that this was going to happen, you know. I knew I was going to have to lead this relationship for a couple of years. You know, she had grown some, you know, within a relationship, but I just didn't know that this curveball was going to come so soon.
Right.
You know, and that we would both need to be extremely strong, you know, throughout this. But I don't have anything negative to say about her at all, period. You know, it was a very unfortunate circumstance, you know, for me to lose my daughter and then, you know, now be losing my wife and, you know, going through this situation. But again, it's life. It is what it is. You know, I think at the end of the day, you know, when I look back on my life and I end up seeing how blessed I am and stuff like that, a lot of people that you see that are very blessed, they've been through a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about being blessed with money. You know, I will one day be blessed with a wife that can hold my hand and walk through the trials and tribulations that life brings, yeah, no matter what they bring.
You don't feel like therapy or counseling could have built that strength up with y'all together?
So we had started going through therapy, which she stopped the beginning of this year. I told her, hey, we need to get back into this because even though we are together, I am not in love with you the way I was when we walked down that aisle because you left me mm-hmm. during my darkest moment. You know, and in order for us to get this connection back, we need to do this. And but I wanted her to take the action of setting it up. You know, you need to show me, you know what I mean? And, you know, she didn't. And, you know, when I ended up going through her phone and finding these messages that she was sending to other people, you know, I realized that she had already decided how she was going to handle it. And it was, you know, by doing that. And when I found out, when I saw those messages, I knew for me it was over because you had already left me in my darkest time, number one. Mm. Two, I'm the breadwinner. I'm the one doing all this, doing all that. I'm still doing all this shit and I'm grieving hard. You know what I'm saying? And then three, I just couldn't look at her the same way. I don't think, and I'm no, you know, I'm not God, I don't know, but I just didn't think I could truly love her the same way or ever fall in love with her again. Mm-hmm. After seeing the things that I saw on her phone, they were just very graphic, very jarring things that like you wouldn't expect your wife to be doing, you know, behind your back. So yeah,
for sure. Some seasons come to an end and sometimes it's unfortunate that these things happen. You mentioned that you guys were planning before your daughter's passing to have more children. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you can even consider at this point?
So when my daughter passed, it was like a absolutely not, you know, but I think as I continue to heal, I do think that that is definitely something that I want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you went from, you went through this journey and you kind of escaped from it. All you were doing at one point was traveling, F these businesses, you're not really trying to hear it. And now you have popped back out. Was it time? Was it a process? Like, what helped you get on the other side of this grief while still being in the grief, right? But
yeah, it was time. It was just kind of getting back out there, you know what I mean? Trying, you know what I mean? Fucking with a couple people I fucked with in the past, you know, getting my little rocks off a little bit.
You mean dating?
I mean, fucking.
Okay.
No, let's take that part out. Let's take no. Yeah. Dating a little bit.
We can't
bit.
Take that part out.
Full transparency.
Dating.
Yeah. Dating, moving around. Just getting my groove back a little bit.
I got a question, Snoop. Mm-hmm. So when you be in these places like Amsterdam and Thailand, do you be out there like,
no, I don't. I am not. So I'm not a sexually promiscuous person. Like,
okay.
I'm the type, I always say, like, I don't want a bunch of people to be like, oh, yeah, Snoop, I fucked her. You know, like, I fuck with Snoop. Like, no, I don't want that. You know what I mean? I'm very exclusive. I'm very selective. People tell me all the time, you need to find your wife overseas and, you know, out the country because they're much more appreciative. You know, they come from less and there all of this go. Type of stuff, you know. I'm not there saying I said it. I'm saying people tell me.
Do you agree? This is,
I don't know. Girl, I'm so confused at this point. You know, I really don't know. I think God is going to send me somebody. God is going to send me the person and my daughter. That's another thing. You know, but how I even found out about my wife. Before then, I wasn't going through people. I went through my wife's phone maybe twice, like in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? But like, I fully trusted her. Like, no matter the issues we had, we always was just like, cheating will never be our thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I never, ever cheated on my wife. I never gave anybody even an inkling, you know what I'm saying, that they could have a chance with me. But yeah, so me getting out there, it's just like, you know, it's time. You know, it's almost 2 years since my daughter passed. Like, life is short. And I think also too, losing somebody, it just shows you that like life is just very, very short and delicate. And I used to always say before my daughter passed, I'm going to ride this motherfucker till the wheels fall off. When my casket hit the ground, it will be with no regrets. I'm going to be done everything I've wanted to do, everything I've dreamed of doing. And I'm not going to let that situation stop me. You know, like, I'm going to make my daughter proud up there, just like I made her proud down here on this earth, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think also too, I mean, I have a extremely strong praying mother. I mean, she prays on me and over me every single day, you know? And, you know, she's always like, you know, I'm praying, you know, that God will heal my daughter, you know, and, you know, bring happiness, you know, back into your life. And, you know, she stopped me. She's like, you know, you're going to get married again. You know, you're going to have some more kids, you know, da, 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 da. And, you know, I believe it. You know, she done said it so many times, the child, I believe it. You know what I mean? It's going to happen.
Could you imagine yourself having more children, like actually becoming pregnant?
No. Okay. I don't want to carry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was actually shocked when I saw the brat do it. So I'm like, oh, I guess it's possible to go down that route.
Yeah, man, you know, no judgment. There, that is a beautiful experience. It is beautiful, you know, to be able to carry your child and feel them from the inside and them to be able to feel your heart, mm-hmm. you know, from the inside, you know. But it's not something that I desire. You know, I've done it once, you know, with my daughter. She's special. She know it, you know. But, yeah.
What's your type?
My type. Okay. So for me, like, one, just a very mature woman, mm-hmm. Somebody I can trust, a woman that is just very genuine, that has a good heart. I think one of my downfalls in the past have been like, I'm so into looks, like, oh, I want a bad bitch. I want a bitch to look like this, look like that. No, I want to be able to see the inside of you. Let me lay you down and put you through a ultrasound, a MRI, you know what I'm saying? I want to see what your heart look like. You know, is it black inside or, you know, is it beaten, mm-hmm. you know? But, you know, somebody that is, that's very focused, mm-hmm. Somebody with a good drive. Mm-hmm. I love a woman with a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I love a woman that can put me in my place. You know, I got a big mouth, you know, I talk my shit. Okay. Yeah. When I say a big mouth, like, you know.
I meant to put you in your place.
I can clap
part.
At you. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love. Oh, that shit is so sexy to me. Oh, my God.
Okay.
yeah, but, you know, that's my type. And just like a very sexually alluring woman, but not friendly, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that any and everybody can get to and get with. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A woman just who knows who she is, knows where she going, know what she want, you know.
I was going to say, let me set you up, but I forgot that you have a show coming out.
I do.
You have a show.
I do. But who would you want to set me up with?
I always got friends.
Okay, we're going to talk off air.
I always got friends. Right. But you have, is it For the Love of Snoop?
What's Snoop, it called? Snooping for Love.
Snooping for Love.
Yes.
Snooping for Love. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, you got 1,000,010 things going on. Mega entrepreneur.
I do.
Is this for genuine love or is this for business?
So to be honest, this is for a little bit of both.
Okay.
Okay. So I have always wanted to be in the film industry, the TV and film industry. My life dream has been to, so everybody, all of my friends, they're like, your life is a movie. Your life is a movie. Your life is a movie. And especially the past 2 years now, right? So my lifelong dream really is to do like a documentary or a movie on my life. Mm-hmm. However, that wasn't going to be my very first project. I need to get my feet wet. I need to get involved in some things. And so, actually, I'm cool with Lena Waithe. You know who that is? Mm-hmm. And so, she was trying to get me into one of Shonda Rhimes' classes. Da, 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 da. I couldn't do it because, excuse me, we had just opened up Escobar at the time. But now where I'm at in my life, I'm able to get involved in more projects. And I felt like this was perfect for what I'm going through in life, for the attention that I get from women, And, you know, it's like, okay, let me just see what's out there, you know. So not only am I doing this show and I'm the main talent, but I'm also an executive producer on the show. And that's one of the things that I really, really enjoy. So I'm in charge of all of the casting, and not just the casting of the females that are going to be in the show, but the casting of everybody, you know, that is going to be involved and a part of the show. And it allows me to be able to just put my little creative side out there, you know, like as a kid. Like, my little favorite movies, like Soul Food and little movies like that. Girl, I would have little folders of these movies I love. Would print out all of the cast and all of this stuff, dissect the movies. And I really feel like that this is one of my life's callings, is to be in TV and film, you know. Okay. And so I got a hell of a personality myself. I'm not just this business owner. Most people that follow me on Instagram, they know I have. So, like, I'm Michelle, the business owner. I'm Snoop. That's the alter ego. That's that motherfucker. You know, so
that got all the girls going crazy. Snooping for love.
Yep, snooping for love. Uh-huh. So yeah, y'all stay tuned.
That's exciting. I saw that a mutual friend of ours, Mickey, mm-hmm. is working on that project with
Yeah,
you.
She was actually gonna come today with me, but she ended up getting busy. But yeah, so Mickey is a matchmaker, and so she's gonna be on the show. Mm-hmm. Helping making sure that I'm matched up with
picking the right woman.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Yeah. We can't go down that road again, child. I've been and killed somebody. Y'all don't play with me.
Yeah. Picking the right. I think I'm open to a matchmaker.
Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it cuts down the time frame.
It does.
Right. And not to, it's some y'all know y'all wonderful, right? But if you ain't swept me off my feet yet, I think I'm open. To a matchmaker.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, get with the mutual friend, child. She got you.
I know Mickey. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a little different. I know mm-hmm. Mickey. Out of all your business models that you have right now, the restaurant, the salon suites, the production company and the insurance company, what would you say is the one that creates the most opportunity for other people who are looking for their thing?
Absolutely, the salon suite industry. It's an industry that almost anyone can get into as long as you have the drive, as long as you have the motivation. You know, you have a coach like me that's willing to, you know, give you my systems, you know, that I'm doing. It is the business that has allowed me to be able to run away and travel, you know, during my, you know, huge grief moments, you know, while I've been, you know, grieving my daughter, grieving my divorce, you know, et cetera. So absolutely the salon suites by far.
Yeah. And you're really sharing your complete framework. So
absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
I'm not the part of it.
Oh, no, baby. I hate that, man. You know, how people are, how you pay for a course or, you know, pay for a startup challenge or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's like they only giving you little small deets. First of all, like, I'm not no bullshitter. As y'all see, I came in right with the deets with this podcast. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So I don't do a lot of fluffing, you know. Mm-hmm. I definitely give you your money's worth for sure.
Mm-hmm. How can people connect with you, Snoop?
People can connect with me a few different ways. First of all, Instagram at whoissnoop. My website, whoissnoop.com. Let's see what else we got. I have a salon suites startup challenge coming up, and I'm doing several free master courses. So snoopsmasterclass.com. Mm-hmm. Those are basically the main three ways. Y'all come get with me. I'm gonna help you make some money now. Don't just come look at my fine ass.
I cannot. Okay, so the entrepreneurs who are watching Full Transparency, they are interested in your story. They likely see themselves in you. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that so many people that have gone through some type of childhood trauma or grief as an adult will be so connected, deeply connected mm-hmm. to this episode. What would you say to that entrepreneur who has been through something mm-hmm. and they just don't know if they have it in them to push mm-hmm. anymore?
Man, I would just say, just don't give up, you know? Just please don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. We all have a calling over on our lives. You know, we are all here for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all going to have to go through something. You know, there is no perfect person out there. We're all going to lose somebody, lose something. Life is not going to be pretty, you know, but hopefully at the end of the day, we'll all be able to say it was worth it, you know, and just don't give up, please.
I admire your strength. Like, I really do. There are people, and probably myself, that have been through something so small in comparison to what you've gone through. That's like, how dare you have the audacity to sit down for even a minute when you've got people like Snoop pushing through major trauma, major loss. So I definitely admire you. You guys know that I don't co-sign a whole lot of entrepreneurs, but I definitely co-sign Snoop. I have seen her in action. I've been watching from afar, seeing her do her thing. Your love for the entrepreneurs, I've seen you traveling out to actually help people and doing what you say you're going to do. So I appreciate you for being on Full Transparency. We gotta come back when Snooping for Love is a thing. For sure. Have another conversation. You guys
about to be a household name on y'all
about to be a household name wherever you're watching this episode. As usual, comment in the comments below what your biggest takeaway was from the episode. Is there something that Snoop said or something that she's experienced that's inspired you to push past any adversity that you're experiencing right now? Is there a trauma that you need to deal with? Is there an apology that you need to hear to set your soul free? Comment whatever stood out for you most. And as usual, we'll see you on the next episode of Full Transparency. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.